Yeah, we're holding on Lemon Fest Summer Days, three lines from the bottom. Continuing to talk about the genome of Citis, we learned that we discussed yesterday the question of what happens if the Citis strings break. What length of them has to be left in order for the Citis to still be cultured? So we talked about, first of all, the Mishnah had said that the white and Tchelis strings are not ma'ak of one another, and we said that one meaning of that is that if you sort it out with the proper number of strings, and then some of them got broken off, then the Tzitzis are still kosher. We said that there has to be, the minimum size of it is Kedela Anvon, large enough to make a slip knot or a bow tie with it, and we discussed the various opinions of Rishonim, what that means, to make a bow tie with what exactly all the strings together or one at a time. Actually, Gemara had mentioned that point of whether it's all together or whether one at a time, and various other, doesn't mean winding them around all the other ones, etc. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Shnanuna, one thing we can derive from this another din, Tzorech Likshur Alkohol Yavacholya. After every group of windings, you have to also make a knot. A cholya, the Gemara is going to describe later, is a group of three windings. We're going to talk about further on in the sugya about the windings. We know that you have there's the windings and then there's the knots. So Rava points out that you see from this discussion that you need to have a knot after every group of windings. Because, says Rava, if you were to think you didn't need that, then consider what we just said. Hod ami bnei Rabchia, the fact that the sons of Rabchia had said gadume tcheles ksherin, the gadume ezev ksherin, where they said that broken off pieces of tcheles of the strings of tzitzis are kosher, and also when it comes to the ezev, when it comes to the branches of ezev that are used to sprinkle par adruma water, if all you have left is remnants of them, then they're still kosher. Now let's consider when it comes to tzitzis. How would it work that it would be, how would it work? How would it be able to stay together anyway? If you didn't have a knot there. Given the ishtaday le iloi, once you would have that the upper knot is untied, ishtaday le kule, then the whole thing would come apart. Meaning, Rashi explains, what do we mean by the knot on top over here means, in other words, so Rashi explains it means the one furthest away from the beged. So you have the various windings, and then afterwards you have a knot. So in other words, the reason we're calling it, there's a few different explanations Mephoshim give why we call it the upper one. Rashi points out, first of all, we're counting from the bottom, from closer to the beged to the top. Tursus points out on the top of the next onward, you have a similar kind of thing, for example, where the Gemara in a different place uses Elyon to refer to something that's further away from the body. So here, then, the idea would be the knot that we're talking about is something that's is something that's further away. Then Rashi says the other explanation is, because after all, we're talking over here about the case where some of the threads have gotten ripped. Compared to those, the knot is right above those ripped threads, because we're going to talk about soon. We're not talking about where it got ripped in the area where we're not talking about where a thread got ripped in the area where you have the windings and the knots. We're talking about where one of the loose hanging threads got ripped, one or more of the loose hanging threads got ripped. And in that case, then, the knot that we're talking about is the knot directly above them. So either way, in other words, obviously there has to be a knot there, otherwise, if strings rip and you didn't have a knot over there, then the whole thing would come apart. The Mukha Yosef brings from Rashi that another point of it is when you're holding your tzitzis, like Baruch Shammah and by the Bracha and whatever, you're holding them in such a way that knot, even though usually that knot hangs downward away from your body, but now when you're picking it up to make the Bracha on tzitzis or whatever it is, then you're holding that knot higher up, and therefore that's another reason to call it the upper knot. Whatever the case, the point is, says Rava, you see that you need a knot after the windings. Now, to be sure, that doesn't really show that you have to have a knot after every group of windings, just that you have to have a knot in general. But still, the point is, Rava says you do see that you need a knot. And Tosfos points out, fine, then that also means then evidently the purpose of the knot is to distinguish between one group of cholyos and the next. So therefore, that would mean that you need knots between them as well. And that way, even if strings rip, then the whole thing doesn't come apart. But the Gemara says that's not really a proof, Dumer de Iktar, because you could be talking about, let's say it happens that it was tied. Maybe what the sons of Rabbi are saying, if in fact you knot it after every Chulia, then if some of the strings break later on, then some of the loose hanging strings, then fine, it's still kosher on the grounds of Gardumin, and then you have the rules that we learned about before, about having a long enough piece to make a slip knot of. And what if some of the strings are broken more than that, etc.? But not necessarily are they saying, if let's say, for example, Rashi explains, most tzitzis, at least the way they were made in those days, did not necessarily have that upper knot. And therefore, in fact, maybe the sons of Rapia would not say that in that case, if strings rip, it would be kosher, because then the whole tzitzis is going to come apart and defeats the whole purpose of having the windings in the first place, which, as we're going to go on to say further, is an essential part of how tzitzis are made. Okay, the Gemara continues. But Omer Rabba, also Rabba says a din on the side here. It says it should be Rabba. Here's another din that we can learn. Kesher Elyon Daraisa. The upper knot is Daraisa. Now, on the face of it, we mean the same upper knot as we did before, meaning the one that's at the end of the windings. But we're going to talk about soon different possibilities that we shouldn't even bring up about it. So that the existence of that knot must be Daraisa. Meaning, in other words, it actually explains even. Now we're calling it Kesher Elyon following this logic that we're talking about. That's the last knot. Let's say, for example, Rashi says, let's say you didn't do a knot after each group of windings. Let's say you did a whole bunch of windings and then you did one knot at the end. But that keeps everything together, and we can show that that is Daraisa. Even if Rashi explains, let's say, for example, instead you could do the windings so tightly that it would last for a while without a knot. Nevertheless, we see, says Rava or Rabba, that Daraisa, you have to have that knot. The Isakadat of Drabbanan, if you're going to say that the fact that you have to have that knot is only Drabbanan, then why would we need a special heter, from the Torah, that a linen garment is going to have tzitzis, which include wool? Now, like this, the Torah tells us you can't wear shatnas, loisuba shatnas, semel pishtim yachtav, and the very next pasuk is gdilim tasalacha, make for yourself tzitzis. And from that we learn that the mitzvah of tzitzis overrides kilayim. And therefore, now we learned at the beginning of the parak that the tchelas strings by definition are wool, and therefore and we're saying that even a linen garment, we're going to talk more about this on other days, and we're going to talk about tomorrow as well, there's the sham about that that nevertheless you still put tchelas on it, meaning even though it's kilai. Now, pshita. Now, wouldn't it be obvious that it shouldn't be a problem unless it's knotted on, unless it's attached permanently? Because we have a din. If a person just sticks, for example, one wool thread into a linen garment or vice versa, and just sticks it one time through, that's not considered enech chibur. It's not considered connecting. And there's no issue of kilayin. There's no issue of shatnez. So therefore. So just sticking the tzitzis, so if you have the tzitzis strings are wool or partially wool, and you stick them one time into a linen garment, and then you start doing all the windings and everything, that would not be enough for it to be considered connected on a Daraisa level, and therefore we wouldn't need the Torah to be hinting at this point that kilayim is mutter and tzitzis if tzitzis were not made that way. Ella Shmamina Daraisa, therefore you see clearly that the requirement for that knot is Daraisa, and therefore it is going to stay permanently together, and that would be enough to make it considered connected on a Daraisa level, such that it would be an Issur of Shatnez were it not for the fact that we're dealing with Tzitzis over here, and therefore that's not an issue. Tosfos points out that there are other places in Tosfos has some discussion about this, about what about the opinion, not everybody agrees that we doubt in that kind of thing, one plus it back to back. But there are Rishonim who explain, and in fact Rashi himself explains in other places, that the Kesher Elyon we mean over here is not the one at the end of the windings, but rather the one at the beginning of the windings. So in other words, the idea would be, Tosfos explains that the one further away from the, before we were saying kesher elyon means the one furthest away from the beged. And again, Tosfos says, just like you find an expression, the mila, in connection with a body part, which is far away from the torso, and it's called the mila. So that's how Rashi is explaining over here, but elsewhere Rashi explains that kesher elyon means, on the contrary, means the first knot closest to the beged. And the point is, in other words, that the other one at the end, since it's further away from the beged, then it wouldn't make it kalayim even if that was required. So in other words, it comes out, there are two different ways of understanding what the kesher elyon is. Lamaisa, of course, we do both. We do a kesher at the beginning before we start the windings. We do also one between each set of windings and the next, and then we do one at the end. So a point there is also an explanation the Ram brings an explanation that what it means is, of course, the one minatora, of course, the one, it's both, of course, the one next to the beged is minatora, and then again, then Rava is telling us that also the one that's at the bottom over there is also daraisa. And there's also explanations that it means, in other words, that we're saying it's not just enough to have a single knot, you have to have a double knot, as in fact we do. Each time you make a knot and it sits, it's a double knot. So continuing with the matter of ripped threads, the Gemara says, Omar Rav Bar Rav Ada, Omar Rav Ada, Omar Rav, in nifsaka chut me ikrei. If a string of tzitzis is torn off from its beginning, from the end where it's attached to the talus, psula, then the tzitzis are possible. Karen Ora explains it means actually not just where it first comes out of the beged, but it means, in other words, even in the area of the windings and all that, which is in fact a machlokas aposkin. When we say, when we talked about this whole matter of kedela anvan, that you have to have enough length of string to be able to make an aniva, to be able to make a slipknot, does that mean dafka of the hanging threads, or would it be good enough if you have that from where it begins at the corner of the beged, in the hole at the corner of the beged, from there you have kedei aniva, even though and it's broken someplace in the middle of the windings. And machlokas aposkim on that, lemaisa, we hold that in that case, if it's broken in the windings, it would be possible, except the outside of mentions, if you're in a place where there's no tzitzis available, then maybe you can be soimach on the other opinion. Anyway, so now we're saying that if it was broken at its beginning, then it's possible. So the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Nachman, v'ka'amal l'hoshmaita. Rav Nachman was sitting and saying over the statement, Esve Rav Rav Nachman, but Rav asked Rav Nachman, we learn in a b'raisa, b'med v'ram amurim, when do we say, the beginning of the b'raisa talks about the number of, the proper length of tzitzis, we're going to have later on in the Sugya, on the Aleph on the Beis, the Gemara is going to bring the entire b'raisa and talk about how many strings there are supposed to be in the tzitzis and the length of them. So b'med v'ram amurim, b'tchilose, that's to begin with, when you make tzitzis, you have to have a certain number of strings. But at the end, if you made tzitzis properly, and later on some strings broke, shira v'gardumov kol shehu, then if you have left shirayim, which is remnants, or gardumov, chopped off pieces, kol shehu, any amount is kosher. So Rava asks, my shiorov and my gardumov. Well, let's consider, what do the words shiorov and gardumov mean respectively? My lav, shiorov de ifsik minayu li shayu minayu. Shiorov on the face of it means that the threads were cut shorter, so you have some of the length of the thread was broken off, but you have more, but you still have some of it still left. And gardumov would mean the gardumi, and gardumov would mean it was completely cut off all the way back to, it was broken off all the way back to where the tzitzis strings begin at the corner of the garment. And then in that case, then it contradicts what Rav is saying, that if a string is broken there, it's automatically possible. And the answer is loy, not necessarily, says Rav Nachman to Rava, that you need to understand the braisa that way. Choder katani, when the braisa says shiorov v'gardumov, it can mean, when it says shiorov v'gardumov, it can actually mean choder katani. It's not two different cases, it's one case. Shiorov v'gardumov, what's left over after it's broken off, kol shehu, then you need to have a certain kol shehu, you need to have a certain amount left. But if it's completely cut off, then it will in fact be possible. Tosfos explains the Gemara's question a little bit differently, because after all, even if you're going to say, how could Rava even think that it meant that it was that it was broken, or that the Braisa means it was broken off to begin with, where the strings originate? After all, you have to have Kol Shehu. In that case, you wouldn't even have Kol Shehu. So first, fine, maybe it means only Shirayim, you would have to have Kol Shehu, but Gardumov, you wouldn't have to have any. But then Tosfos explains differently that it means Shiorov would mean that some of the threads still exist from the beginning, from all of them exist from the beginning, and some of them are whole and some of them are broken. Gardumov would mean where all of them are cut off, and Kol Shehu would mean would refer to Gardumov. So then in that case it could still be understood to mean that it would be Kol Shehu even if they were broken off from the beginning. But now we're saying, no, Shiori Gardumov, Kol Shehu, no, it means it's not two different cases. It just means if they're broken off, then the Shirayim can be Kol Shehu. It can be any amount. And the tzitzis are still kosher. But we're going to say that Kol Shehu does not really mean Kol Shehu, doesn't mean anything, because the question is, Velema Gardumov, because in that case, then the Braisa doesn't need to use the double expression Shiora V'Gardumov, which we're going to understand to mean Shirayim leftovers and Gardumov and chopped off pieces. It should just say Gardumov, Shiora V'Lomeli. Why bother mentioning the word Shiora? And the answer is Hakamash Malan. The Braisa wants to tell us to be in Shiura the Gardumov Kadela Anvon. You do have to have those Gardumov, the cut off parts, the broken off parts, do have to have enough of a Shiur. They have to have enough left, as we learned yesterday, enough to be able to make a slip out of it. So Kol Shehu doesn't mean that you have only a tiny fraction of the string left. You do have to have Kidei Aniva in order for the string to still count. And if not, then you subtract it from the number of strings. And then we talked about yesterday the various possibilities and the various opinions among the poskim, how many threads would have to be broken off to less than that to be kosher. Again, the mainstream understanding of poskim is we're talking about as far as the length of what's left of the hanging threads. There is an opinion that it means that it means even within the windings area. And again, as the Alter Rebbe says, let's not rely on that unless it's really b'shas hadfak. Continues the Gemara. Yosef Rabba, the Ka'am Meshmei de Rav. Rabba was sitting and saying a din in the name of Rav, Chutsho Kerach Ola Min Aminyan. The thread that you use for winding around the other ones counts as one of the eight strings. Later on in the Sylvia, we're going to discuss that we learn that you need eight strings after. So now the thread, the string that you use to wind around the other ones counts towards the eight. Omele Rabbi Yosef, but Rabbi Yosef says to Rabba, you should know Shmuel Omre Veloy Rab. You should know Shmuel is the one who said this. You're quoting this in the name of Rab, but you should know that Shmuel is actually the one who said this. And the Gemara says, Itmar Nami, it was also said the same din, Omer Rabba Baba Chana, Sochli Rabbi Yoshia Dimin Usha, that Rabbi Yoshia from Usha told me, says Rabba Baba Chana, Chutsho Kerach Ola Min Aminyan, that the thread, that's the string that's wound around the other ones, counts towards the eight. The Chiddushim of Yechosim La Rashba points out what's the Chiddush in it? Why would we think that it doesn't? And he says, because since the Pasuk describes tzitzis with two different words, and we're going to talk about this further on Amud Beis, that in one place the Torah calls tzitzis gedilin, which means a gedil is a braid. So in other words, threads that are wound over there with a thread that's wound around the other ones. But then the Torah also calls it psil, which means something that's not wound like that, something that's not braided. So you would have thought that maybe the gdil cannot include the psil, and you have to have eight threads aside from the one that's used to make the gdil, and therefore Rabba is telling us that not, but he was quoting it in the name of Rab, and Rabbi Yosef informs him, you should know it was actually Shmuel who said that. Then the Gemara says, Yosef Rabba v'kama m'shmei de Shmuel. Rabba was sitting and saying a din in the name of Shmuel. Tchelas shekorach Rabba. If you wound most of the tchelas. Now here, and in a few other places in the Sylvia, we're going to say, Rashi explains that the word tchelas over here does not mean specifically the tchelas threads. It means the tzitzis in general. So tzitzis in general, that if you did most of the length of it as windings, kshera, then the tzitzis will still be kosher. If you wound all of it and didn't leave any hanging threads, we're going to discuss about that beginning at the bottom of our amud and continuing on to the next amud. But here, in other words, even though, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, the proper way is that one third of the length should be the windings and knots, and the other two thirds should be the hanging threads. Nevertheless, if you did more than that of the wound area, then it's still kosher. Amalei Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says to Rava, Rav Amar Vale Shmuel. You should know that it was Rav who said this, not Shmuel. So before we had Rabba quoting a din in the name of Rav, and Rav Yosef informs him, you should know it was actually Shmuel that said it. Here it's the other way around, where Rava is saying something in the name of Rav, and Rav Yosef informs him that it was actually Shmuel that said it. The Sfasemis points out, I mean, it's hard to understand. How did they mix up two things? How did they mix up two things like that? And then when he says Rav said this, not Shmuel, and Shmuel said this, not Rav, why? You don't think Shmuel could have said the same thing? You don't think Rav could have said the same thing? So the Sfasemis explains that what it means is when the two dinim mean as follows. When we say that the winding string counts, means, in other words, even if you wound all of that thread and you didn't leave any of it hanging, then nevertheless it still counts as one of the threads. And the second one is saying that if you wound using the tchelas thread, and as we're going to go on to say in the sugya, you do most of the windings using the tchelas thread. If you use most of the thread, tchelas shakaras ruba, he understands tchelas means specifically the tchelas thread. If you wound most of that, then it's kosher, but if you wound all of it, then it's possible. So therefore, now those two dinim would contradict one another. One says that you could even wind the entire tchelas string and it counts, and the other one says no, only most of it. So therefore, that would explain why Rabbi Yosef has to point out in both places, you should know, these two dinim contradict one another, and you can't possibly, and you have it mixed up. Who said which one? Because you can't say, for example, Rav said this and maybe Shmuel said it as well, because if he did, then it would contradict his other din. So the Gemara says, Itmar Nami, it was also said, Amar Rav Huna bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshes, Amar Rav Yumi bar Abba, Amar Rav, Tchelas Shekarach Roba Kshera, if you wound most of the Tchelas, then it's kosher. Again, if one's a Rashi, meaning the Tzitzis in general, if most of it consists of windings, then it's still kosher, as long as you left some hanging threads, as we'll discuss further on in the Sugya. And according to the Sfasemis, that even if you wound most of the Tchelas thread and left only a little bit of it hanging, then it would be kosher, but not if you wound all of it. Unlike the previous din, which we said that Shmuel would say that you could even wind the whole thing and it would count as one of the strings. The Gemara goes on. Rabbi Chiya Breder of Nosan taught this din in the name of Rab and said it differently. Omer of Huna, Omer of Sheshes, Omer of Yumi, Ba'aba, Omer Rav, Tchelas Shekorach Ruba Ksheira. First of all, that yes, if you wind most of the Tchelas, then it is kosher. And he continues, Va'afilu le Korach Ve'ala Cholya Achas, and vice versa, even if he only did one Cholya, one group of three windings, Ksheira, then it would also be kosher, even if he only did that and left the rest of it as hanging threads. The proper way, the beauty of tchelas, the most beautiful way of making the tzitzis should be shlish gdil or shnei shlishay onaf. One third of it should be the wound area, and two thirds of it should be the loose strings. There is an understanding here. Rashi is saying that again that we're using the word tchelas. I mean, it's generically the Nemukhi Yosef brings from a different understanding, or that Rashi a different understanding from a manuscript of Rashi or whatever, that what we mean is specifically as far as the tchelas, that the best thing is two thirds of it should be wound and one third hanging loose. Okay, the Gemara says a kamashir cholya. What is considered the amount of cholya? Tanya Rebbe Omer, we learn in a brisa that Rebbe says kadesh yichrach v'yishna v'yishalish when you wind around three times. The Gemara continues, Tana, we learn in a brisa, poichus lo yichris misheva. If you want it, even though we just said that you can make even one cholya and it's good enough, nevertheless, if you're going to do the fewest cholyas possible, then you should really not do less than seven, and that would be mitzvah menam muvchar. So you should have not less than seven different. We're showing him talk about, do we mean seven windings or do we mean seven cholias? You have, by the way, there's a difference for chlal. As far as the windings of tzitzis, you have minhag chabad versus you have the more widespread minhag. The more widespread minhag is you just wind round and round the number of windings, as we'll talk about in a second, what the number of them is in the various segments, and then you tie knots after that and you repeat with the next segment and so forth. Whereas minhag chabad is based on what we're saying over here, the Holia consists of three, is you make them in groups of three. You take the in present day tzitzis, when they sell the tzitzis strings, or when they make them at the factory, as the case may be, they make one string much longer than the others, so that after you wind it around the other ones, and then it'll be approximately the same length as the other ones. And minhag chabad is we take that one, and so everybody does that. The belt, as I said, just winds it round and round, seven or eight or whatever times, as we'll talk about in a minute. Minhag chabad is that we make a group of three, and then another group of three, and so forth. And the minhag is also the Rebbe Rashab, as it was explained, that what we do is, since, as we're going to say in a second, we have seven, then eight, then 11, then 13, and not, and those numbers don't divide by seven. What we do is, for example, at the end of the seven, so we make two groups of three, we make two groups of three, and then we make one individual one. Then in the next one, we start with two, which goes together with that one to make a total of three, and then we do two more sets of three. In the same way, in the 11 and the 13, we do 3, 3, 3, 3, 2, and then at the beginning of the next one, we do one, which goes together with the two, and then four sets of three, and that makes the 13 windings. So here we're saying you should do not less than seven. And there are Mephoshim who understand that what it means is, so Rashi and Tosfos both explain that when we say seven, what we mean is seven cholias. So again, the Velt understands that to mean that, just that you have seven windings, and we do seven windings, and then we just divide them into groups of three. There are, Tosfos brings another explanation that it actually means seven groups of windings, in which case seven would really be 21, since we're saying that three windings make a cholia. Anyways, you should have not less than seven. Va'mosif, and if you're going to be doing the maximum, lo yosef al shloshes, so you should do not more than 13. Why dafka 7 and 13? Apothos lo yichas misheva, don't do less than 7, even though b'dievet, as we said, if you did less, it is kosher, k'neged shiva rakim, because that way it will correspond to the seven heavens. Why, if you're doing the maximum, should you not do more than 13? Then again, shivra ki and vishisha avir and shabene. Because you have the seven heavens, and then there are six spaces between them, between one level of heaven and the next. It's a space, and therefore 13 represents the total number of heavens with the spaces between them. What does tzitzis have to do with heaven? Rashi points out that the Gemara is going to tell us later on in the parak that tchelis, color of Tchelis resembles the sea, which in turn resembles the sky, and it goes up from there until the Kisei HaKavod. And that way, when you look at the tzitzis, it puts you in mind of Hashem's throne. And this way, it also helps Hashem remember us for good. Rashi points out that because we're wearing something which is dyed the same color as so to speak, as Hashem's throne. So therefore, so we want to have something that represents, and we want to have something in the tzitzis that represents the heaven. There are different understandings of whether that would apply when we don't have tchelis. And there's different gersoys in Rashi. Hagoyes Habach adds a phrase in Rashi that this was only in new times when they had tchelis, whereas nowadays that wouldn't be an issue, and you can make as many windings as you want. So what we do is actually, so the almost universal minhag nowadays is that you do seven windings, then eight, then 11, then 13. Between each of those groups, you have a knot. Because then that way you're going from 7 to 13, as the Gemara is saying over here. I mean, the reason for those numbers in particular, 7, 8, and 11 add up together to 26, which is gematria, Shem Havaya, and 13 is the gematria of the word Ephod. So the total number of windings in each tzitza is 39, then representing the phrase Hashem Echad. Both Rashi and Tosfos point out that the minhag is then that you have five knots. Rashi and Tosfos both use the expression that we do two knots above and three below. But we actually, what we do is nowadays, we do somewhat differently. We do, there's no particular above and below. We have one near the garment. In that, you have a difference in menhagim. You have the belt has the strings hang down from one, in most tzitzis in the world, you have one hole near the corner, and then you have the tzitzis hang down from it. The threads are doubled over, and one side of them hangs down from one side of that, and the other from the other, and you tie them at the edge of the garment. That's the first knot. Then you have the first group of windings and a knot, the second group of windings and a knot, and so forth until you complete it all. Minhag Chabad is instead that you have two holes, one next to the other, and you put the tzitzis through one in one hole and out the other, and then you have the first knot is there, right there, on top of the surface of the cloth of the beged, and then from there you continue with the windings and the knots. So one thing is though we do that only with it, even that we do only with the talus cotton. It's the post can point out it is a little bit messy to you, or it looks like when a person does that, maybe it's like it looks like he's priding himself, like I'm doing the mitzvah extra carefully, better than anybody else. So therefore, with the talus cotton, where we keep the corners tucked in, then it's fine to do that. A talus gadol, the alphabet explains, we shouldn't do that because that's worn publicly, and therefore your talus gadol, we tackle only have one hole. We have there's a tiny little hole near the hem. That's for something else. That's the, you put the shamash through that before you begin the windings, and that helps keep the tzitzis in the appropriate place, so that, as we're going to learn later on in the parak, you want them to be hitting the corner. You want them to be, the tzitzis actually be hitting the corner, and that means they should be hanging at a right angle to the corner and going down and touching it, rather than hanging down directly, and none of them touches the corner. So that's the idea of how we do the windings. Both Rashi and Tosfos point out the symbolism of it. Well, in Rashi, it's not in the main Rashi itself. Hagoyis HaBach adds it in the text of Rashi, and Tosfos also that the idea is when we with the famous gematria that we all know that the word tzitzit itself is gematria 600, and you have eight hanging strings, and you have five knots, so therefore it equals 613, and therefore it reminds us of all the mitzvahs. Tosfos points out, by the way, the word tzitzis is written in the Torah. Every time it's written, is only tzadik yud, tzadik sof. It doesn't have the second yud, so it doesn't add up to 600. Tosfos says, but then it says, v'hoyolacham litzitzis. So therefore, so it says three times, it says tzitzis. And one time, and of those three, one time it says litzitzis. So the lamed adds another 30, so therefore we can take it as a, so to speak, we can break it up into three tens and put each of those in the word tzitzis, and therefore you have the word tzitzis spelt out in full, tzadik yud sof. So that's what you do as far as the windings. So that's the number of them. So again, the Gemara seems to make it sound as though you just have one group of windings and you have anywhere between 7 and 13, depending on your preference, whereas the minhag nowadays is to do multiple sets of windings, first starting with 7 and ending with 13. I have once heard of a different minhag that some kahilas have, that they don't do that, because again, we're saying technically Rashi and Tosfos are both pointing out that technically this doesn't apply when we don't have kahilas, as is nowadays, and there exists a minhag to instead do 10, 5, 6, and 5, which then corresponds just to Shema Havaya. It equals 26. The Gemara says, Tana, we learn in a Braisa. So Maschil, when you're beginning the windings, Maschil Belovon. The first winding, or the first group of windings, should be done using the white threads. Because Hakonaf, Min Konaf, because we learned before when the Torah says that you have to have tzitzis Hakonaf of the corner, that means Min Konaf, that means it should be of the same kind as what the corner of the beged itself is. And since, as we talked about at the beginning of the Perek, as Rashi had mentioned, most clothes, most godim on which you put tzitzis are usually white, so therefore the non-tchelas strings are going to be white. So you start with those, so that way it resembles the corner of the beged that it came from. Then you start doing the windings with the tchelas thread. Also, Messiah, when you're finishing the windings, Messiah beloved, and you also finish with white, Shemalim Bakodesh, because we have a rule. Because Malvin Makodesh, well, in Meridin, we have the rule, we go up in Kedusha and don't go down, and for that reason, we don't want to have that we began with the white and then we're going to ignore it for the rest and end only with Tchelas. No, if we began with white, then we want to keep it on the same high level and use it again for the wine. So we use it at the end. It comes out from this, by the way, that you don't necessarily need to use the same thread for winding, because, of course, by definition, if you're using part white and part blue, then you're not. Maybe a form of the Rambam that you have one half of one string is dyed tefillos and the other half is left white. Maybe the Rambam would say that then you should use the two halves of that string, but I don't think he says that. But in any case, everybody else who says that there are some strings that are from the Rashi and Tosfos who say it's two and two, or the Rival who says it's three white and one blue, obviously that's not going to happen. So the fact is, the windings can be made with different strings in different places, and even nowadays, when we have all white tzitzis, that halacha is still so. You could, in fact, do some of the windings with one string and some with another. In practice, sets of tzitzis strings are sold with one string longer than the other ones, and that one is used for all the windings throughout.
Okay.
The Gemara continues. Rav and Rav Bar Bachana Habu Yas. One time Rav and Rav Bar Bachana were sitting together. Have a kacholif for Ozalahu Gavra, a person passed by, the Michsi glimmered the Kula Tchelta. He was wearing a garment of all Tchelas, like we talked about at the beginning of the Perek, that in that case we said that you start by putting in the Tchelas threads first, etc. The Romi Le Tchelta, he had Tchelas, he had Tzitzis on it. But Ugdila Migdil, but the entire thing was wound. There were no loose threads hanging off it. Amarav, so Rav says Yoy Glimmer, this is a nice garment, Vola Yoy Tchelta, but the Tchelas, the tzitzis that he has on it is not good because you have to have loose strings. Fine, we said before that L'Tchila you should have it should be one third windings and two thirds hanging, but if it's more windings than that, then b'dieved, it's fine. But you definitely need some hanging threads, says Rava, and otherwise it's no good. Rabbi Baba Chana, on the other hand, Rabbi Baba Chana said, Yoy glim of a yoy tzchelta. No, not only the garment is nice, but the tchelas is nice as well. It's fine for him to have the tzitzis that way without any hanging threads. So the Gemara says, Mamai Kumbisugi, what is the underlying argument? Rabbi Bachana Sover, Ksiv Gdil Uchtiv Psil. The Torah describes the tzitzis with two different words. In one place it calls it Gdilim Tasalacha, which means something that's all wound, that's all wound and braided together. Uchtiv Psil, but the Torah also calls it Psil, which implies loose strings. That means Oy Gdil Oy Psil. Therefore, says Rabbi Bachana, the Torah is implying that it could be either one or the other. You don't have, according to Rav Avachana, you don't have to have windings, and vice versa, you don't have to have loose hanging threads either. The Rav Sava, whereas Rav holds Va'olam Psil Ba'inan, as a matter of fact, we do require Psil. There does have to be loose threads, and there does have to be windings as well. So the Mordechai brings two opinions. The Mordechai on this brings two opinions. Does it mean that the halacha is like Rav? But does Rav mean that you must have both, and if you don't have one or the other, then it's possible? Or is Rav just saying that you do need hanging threads, but you could be Yotze with only hanging threads and no windings at all? The Mordechai brings two opinions about that. So Rav says definitely you need hanging threads. When it says gedilim, Then it means that you need to, that tells you the number of swings that make up tzitzis. Because gdil shnayim, because the word gdil implies two swings, because a gdil, a braid, is going to require at least two swings. Gdilim, and when it says gdilim in plural, arba means that you have four strings. And then when it says psil, then that teaches us asay gdil. Means make a deal that, so that in other words, put it into the talus and fold them over so that you have eight threads hanging, or place slehu misoichai, and then make a still from within it. What does that mean? There's a lot of explanation from Rishonim of what those words "pesleu misoichai" mean. Rashi himself gives two explanations. One is that it means, as we said before, you take one string and wind it around the others, and that one, as we said on Amud Aleph, counts towards the eight. So that's what it means. "Pesleu misoichai," what you're going to use to make the psil, what you're going to use to make the windings, is mitoichai. It's from it. It counts as one of the eight strings. The other explanation, Rashi says, means make sure that there is a psil, make sure that there are loose, that there are loose strings hanging at the bottom, and that's not completely wound up. So we see from that, says Rab, that you do in fact need hanging threads, and the fact that it says gdil and psil doesn't teach us, like Rav Abahana says, that you can do one or the other. You do in fact definitely need gdil and psil teach, and then you do definitely you need psil, you do need loose threads, but you also, and from psil we also learn about the number of threads, the fact that you fold them over to make eight, and the fact that you wind one of them. And it counts towards the eight. Tosfos points out then, so why, what forces Rav to say that way? Maybe indeed it should say that if you require both, you need gzil and you need psil. So Tosfos says, as a doichot, maybe Rav Abahana holds that gdilin is almost like a miut acha miut. And so, because why does it have to say it in the plural? Again, the word gdil itself suggests a plural. So therefore it would mean as if, so therefore it would mean that it's kosher even without a gdil, even without a psil at all. So it would mean, in other words, it would be kosher without any hanging threads. And then psil would be telling us that maybe it would be possible with both of them, and therefore it's saying that you could have both. And Rav says that no, it's not a mute, it's just telling us a number. So that's the machlokes. So therefore, the halacha is like Rav, and therefore you do in fact have to have hanging threads. Oh, as far as poslayim misoichay, so again, Rashi himself had given two explanations. That one, it means that the winding thread counts as one of the eight, and the other, that poslayim misoichay means make sure that there are hanging threads. Tosfos says, another explanation, poslayim misoichay, is from where we learn that in fact you fold over the threads, that you start out with eight, and then you start out with four, and you fold them over to make eight. That's another meaning of Pesleu Mitoichai. So in any case, so again, halacha is like Rav, and therefore you do in fact need hanging threads. The Gemara is going to also point out later on that tzitzis itself, well, the word tzitzis itself means locks of hair. We find a pasuk by Yikocheni b'tzitzis roishi. So Yechezkel describes how Hashem in a nevuah how he perceived in a nevuah Hashem taking him by the locks of his hair and carrying him to Yerushalayim in a vision to see what's going on over there in the Beis Hamikdash. So we see that tzitzis means locks of hair, and the Gemara explains later on from there. Also, we see that the threads have to be separate; they can't be tangled together because otherwise they're not like hair. The Gemara continues. Almost Shmuel Mishmei de Levi. Shmuel says in the name of Levi, as we talked about yesterday, we see that Levi was a Rebbe of Shmuel, and now we see also that Shmuel is saying something in his name. Threads of strings of tzitzis, strings of wool, will patter a garment made out of linen. Meaning, in other words, We said before the tchelas has to be, by definition, has to be wool. But here we're talking about the white threads, even though they're not the same type as the beged, because the beged is made out of linen, and here you're putting on it tzitzis of wool. Says Shmuel, that it's not a problem, because once the Torah tells us to put tchelas, which is by definition wool, then the white threads can also be wool. So there's that. Tosfos points out that it's also it means, in other words, that even though it's kilayim, even though it's shatnez, nevertheless it's mutter. So the Gemara says, okay, well, now we have the question. What about the other way around? If you have a woolen garment, can you put linen strings on it and be yotze? The tchelas, again, obviously is going to have to be wool by definition, but could the other two strings be linen? Well, nowadays, where we don't have tchelas, could all four of them be linen? Could be linen. The question is, given the tchelas potter of lovam nami potter, now we would say like this, sema b'shal pishtim or de potter, you could say the reason why wool, why wool strings are good for a linen garment, to keep in the tchelas potter love and nami potter, because like we just said, since the tchelas by definition is wool, and that definitely is going to go on a linen garment, then therefore the other strings can also be wool and it's not a problem. And therefore the other ones can be wool and it's not a problem. Abba pishtim but semer loy, but it wouldn't necessarily follow that you could have the other way around, linen ones on a woolen garment, because you don't have any particular heter, because where's the heter from? It is going to be shatnez after all, like we said before, and you don't have to do it for the tchelas, so maybe it wouldn't. Or maybe more the point is also because it's not min konach, it's not the same type as the garment. Maybe it has to be the same type where one if the garment is wool, then it has to have wool tzitzis. Or maybe not. Since the Torah tells you back to back, since the Torah tells you back to back, don't wear shatnez and wear gedilin tzitzis. That means, in other words, that the gedilin, that the tzitzis are made of wool or of linen. Loishnat semer pishtim, loishnat pishtim et semer. Well, then according to that, it wouldn't make a difference. Wool tzitzis on a linen garment or linen ones on a wool garment. Either way, it would be fine. So what is it? So the Gemara says Toshma. Tashma, the Amar Rachba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Chutei Semer, Poitin V'Shal Pishtan, V'Shal Pishtan, Poitin V'Shal Semer. Rabbi Rachba says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda very clearly that yes, strings of wool patter a linen talus, and vice versa, the linen sitzes patter a wool garment, and therefore, so there's the answer. And Rabbi Yehuda explains. Furthermore, continues Rabbi Yehuda, that the strings of wool or of linen patter any kind of garment, even silk garments. In other words, he's learning that silk garments are in fact chayev in tzitzis as well, and therefore, so what he's saying, and not only that, he's saying that they're chayev in the chayev in tzitzis minat Torah, and therefore he's saying you could even put tzitzis on them which are partially wool and partially linen, and it's not going to be a problem as far as kilayim, because again, the Torah is telling you a specific heter that you can do kilayim, that you can do shatnez when it comes to tzitzis. So not only says Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to wool or linen garments, but even when it comes to silk or other materials as well. The Gemara continues a pliga de Rav Nachman. Well, that explanation of that statement of Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman ashiroyim p'turim in atzitzis. Rav Nachman says that silk garments are potter from tzitzis. We mean, in other words, not just on a daraisa level, but even derabbanon. Tosfos points out if Rav Nachman meant that tzchayev derabbanon, he being an amora, he would be obligated to explain himself. He can't just say that silk is potter. Without specifying if he meant that tzchayev derabbanon, then it would mean that he would have had to say so. So the Gemara says, "Esvei Rava, Lord of Nachman." So Rava asks Rav Nachman, "How can you tell me that the silk or other materials are not chayev in tzitzis to be at all? We learn in a brisa, hashiroyin v'koloch v'asrikin. These are all different grades of silk. Rashi explains, shiroyin is silk. Koloch would be that's what's used from the waste silk. Silk is produced from natural silk. Nowadays they have artificial, but whatever. Natural silk comes from the cocoons of the silk of the cocoon of the silkworm. They unwind the cocoon and they take the thread and they use it for silk. So now shiroyim would be the good quality stuff. Originally silk was produced in China, and an ancient name for China is Ceres or something like that, which is where the word shiroyim or siroyim comes from. That it means basically Chinese material. So shiroyim would be regular silk. Koloch would be an inferior kind of silk, like from the waste of it. And what's made from the combed out fibers of silk. So all of them are different grades of silk, basically. So all of them are called them chayovim b'tzitzis. The Braisa says all of them are chayovim b'tzitzis. And you, Reb Nachman, are telling me they're potter. So the Gemara says midrabbanan. Fine, we do in fact mean that he, that we do in fact the Braisa means that the Braisa does mean that it's midrabbanan. So that's what it is actually. So. So sorry, I said before wrongly what Tosfos says. Rav Nachman is saying that they're not even that they're chayiv only d'rabbanan. Rav Yehuda cannot be saying that because Rav Yehuda should have clarified himself. He would have had to clarify when he says that when he says that wool and linen threads patter any time, even by silk, and he means in other words that you can use even a mixture of wool and linen threads and it would be fine, even though it's kilayim, that wouldn't work unless they're actually chayiv daras. So the Gemara says ifachi. If that's how you're going to understand, then it means that silk is chayiv only d'rabbanan. Amos Sefer, look at the continuation of the Braisa. V'chulon, by all of them, semer pishtin poitrin behem. Whether you use wool or linen threads, then it patters it. Now, the pashtus, that means not only wool or linen, it means wool and linen, namely tcheles of wool and the white strings of linen. So yeah, but the Shlema Daraisa, if you say the Braisa is saying that silk is chayav min haTorah, chayav the Mishnah of Kalayim, that explains how we can use Kalayim and Tzitzis in it, and it's not a problem. Eli Yamat Dirabbanan, but if you're going to tell me it's only Dirabbanan, Heichi Mishnah of Kalayim, how could Kalayim be able to? And then the Chacham don't have the ability to tell us to be over on an Issu Daraisa of Shatnez. So the Gemara answers, Ema, Oit Semer, Oit Pishtin. Fine, what you're going to explain, and the Braisa said, doesn't mean that you use both linen threads and wool threads. It would mean it's one or the other. You use either all wool threads or all linen threads. Katanoda points out that, I mean, to use all linen threads would have to mean that you don't have trelas, because if you have trelas, then of course you have to, and trelas by definition is wool. So fine, the Braisa doesn't mean that you use both of them. It just means that if you're going to put tzitzis on linen on silk garments, but you put only either wool or linen, not both, because you're right, that would be kilayim where it's only required d'rabbanan. The Gemara says Hachi Nami Mistaber. In fact, it's more logical to understand the Braisa that way. Yichatani Sefer, because the Braisa continues Hain. As far as silk strings, the minon poitrin, only when it comes to a silk garment will they patter. Shalom the minon ain't poitrin, but if they're attached to a different kind of garment, they wouldn't patter. So yeah, but the shlema did a bonon. If you tell me, it's easy to understand if you say that silk is only that the whole concept of silk being requiring tzitzis is only did a bonon hainu the mixture and the minon. That explains why. Why a silk garment is able to be potter with silk tzitzis. Eliyama Daraisa, but if you tell me that silk garments are chayiv and tzitzis min haTorah, semer upishtim will be potter. Shouldn't we say that the Torah is mentioning only semer upishtim, woolen linen, and only those should be valid for tzitzis, and silk strings ought to be completely potter. So it must be that silk midaraisa is not chayiv in tzitzis at all. Midrabanan is chayiv, but fine, the chachamim are not going to require them to put wool or linen. They'll say you can put silk tzitzis as well. So that would demonstrate that it is in fact the Rabbanan. So meanwhile, then when Rabbi Yehuda had started the sugya to say that, and said that silk is chayiv, he would mean that it's actually chayiv d'oraisa. And meanwhile, the Braisa and Rabbi Nachman would hold that it's chayiv only the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, "Imishum halakiriya." No, because if you want to prove from that, you're saying because the very fact that you can use silk strings shows that silk is chayiv only d'rabbanan. That's not really a proof. Kidderava, because instead we can learn the way Rava says. Rava Rami. Rava pointed out a contradiction between sukim. Ksiv hakonaf min konaf. Up until now we've been saying the pasuk says that tzitzis should be hakonaf, tzitzis hakonaf, which means that the tzitzis should resemble the konaf. They should be made of the same material as the konaf, as the corner of the garment. So that would mean, in other words, that you always have to use silk would require silk strings, cotton would require cotton strings, etc. Uchtiv semer upishtim, but the pasuk also says when it comes to tzitzis, it mentions wool and linen. And again, the smichos that we said before teaches us that either wool that not only wool or linen. But even a combination of them. So what is it? Should it be min konaf or should it always be wool or linen? Okay, sad. So Rava explains, what does that mean? Semer upishtim poitrin bein min and bein shelo minon. It means wool or linen tzitzis will patter whether you put them on a garment of that type or of any type. So wool tzitzis will be good for a wool garment or linen when you have treles. Or cotton or silk, etc. Shalminin, other kinds, for example, silk, the minon poitrin, they were pater of garment of that type, so silk tzitzis on a silk garment, shaloi the minon, ain't poitrin, but they won't pater when it's not the same type. So therefore, so the b'raisa is not necessarily, so the b'raisa can't be used as a proof necessarily that tzitzis on a silk garment are only d'rabbanon. The reason the b'raisa is saying that silk is kosher is because on a d'raisa level, there are three kinds of strings that you could use for a silk garment: wool, linen, or silk. So then we don't have a proof. So that's saying we don't have a proof from that b'raisa. So now we need to find, though, is there a tana that Rav Nachman holds like? We are saying, fine, that maybe the b'raisa is saying that silk is chayv only d'rabbanan, but really, we shlugged up that explanation, and therefore now the Gemara has to seek another way of understanding how Rav Nachman is not going to be contradicted by the b'raisa. Tosfos gives that as one point, and then goes on to say that also it's Rav Nachman is not going to argue on this drasha that it has to be mina, it has to be the same type as the garment where possible, unless he has a tana who supports him. So who does Rav Nachman hold? Like the Tana of Rabbi Shmuel. He learns like the way we learn in a Braisa from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana of Rabbi Shmuel, Hoyuva Nemu Begodim Batorah Stan, many places the Torah mentions just clothing without specifying what it's made of. And one of them is tzitzis, where it says our contribute to him. But part of the chaposah be'efanehem semel pishtim. But then in one context, the Torah mentions about garments and limits them to wool and linen, namely when it comes to tzaras, where the pasuk specifically says that's beged semel or beged pishtim. So we learn from that. Binyan Ab, Afkol, Semer Pishtim, the same way, anywhere else, where the Torah talks about garments, means specifically of wool or of linen. So therefore, that would mean when it comes to tzitzis as well, then only wool and linen garments are chayiv in tzitzis min Torah. And therefore, so Rav Nachman can hold like that and say that in fact silk is chayiv is chayiv only d'rabbanan. So there you go. So you have a b'raisa that says that only wool and linen is chayiv min haTorah. So the fact that you have the previous b'raisa that says that wool, that linen, that says that silk is chayiv, and we ended up saying that maybe it even means d'raisa, fine, Rav Nachman doesn't have to follow that b'raisa because he has a different b'raisa. The question is, in the end, who is the halacha like? Is it like Rava, or like, is it like Rabbi Yehuda, or like Rabbi Nachman? So if a person wears tzitzis made of silk or cotton or whatever, is he yotze the mitzvah minatora? The Rif and the Rambam, the Paschim, like Rav Nachman, and then Shulchan Aruch runs the same thing. And a person is, so therefore, according to them, a person is fulfilling the mitzvah in HaTorah only if he wears a wool or a linen talus, cotton or talus. Anything else, if he wears silk or cotton or whatever, would be only d'rabbanan. Tosfos, on the other hand, brings that Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi Paschim like Rava, which is that which comes out therefore which would mean in turn in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, which would mean that silk and cotton and whatever are chayiv in it daraisa. Therefore, according to them, you are yotzim in atorah if you wear cotton tzitzis or whatever. So it ends up being a machlokas aposkim. Rishonim explain. That therefore, Yoreh Shamayim should in fact take and use a wool garment, and that way for sure he's Yotze the Mitzvah Min HaTorah. So it is better to do that, and Minach Chabad is to do that. Nevertheless, the Veltish Minach is that many people wear tzitzis of cotton, and either they're Yotze only d'rabbanan, or they're following the opinions over here. The opinions of Poskim will say that it is in fact d'oraisa. And in fact, if it's brought, for example, the Chazon Ish didn't wear woolen tzitzis in the summertime. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that a person should wear wool tzitzis even in the summertime, because that way he's yotze the mitzvah. That way he's yotze the mitzvah even then. Whereas it's brought, for example, the Chazon Ish did not. So either because he holds like the opinions that say that's not necessary, and you are yotze daraisa with cotton tzitzis. Or he says that maybe even just doing it in a way that's, that your yotze d'rabbanan is good enough. So the Gemara points out, Omar Abaye, Vahai Tanet Ve Rabbi Shmuel, Matam Idich Tanet Ve Rabbi Shmuel. You should know this Braisa that we just quoted from Tanet Ve Rabbi Shmuel contradicts another Braisa of Tanet Ve Rabbi Shmuel. So here, the first Braisa we just quoted from Tanet Ve Rabbi Shmuel says that the Torah's definition of garments is only wool or linen. So according to that, any other garment is not considered a garment minat Torah, and as far as tzitzis, would be chayav only dirabanan. But now we have a different, and it would mean also that only wool and linen garments are subject to sadaris. But then the Tanit Rei Rabbi Shmuel. But we have another price of the Shiva Rabbi Shmuel. When the pasuk says beged, when the pasuk talks about saras and clothing, ainli ela beged semer. So you would only know that that includes wool, because the pasuk says beged semer or beged pishtin. And when it says semer, when the pasuk says beged semer, maybe it would mean only specifically sheep's wool, which is the only one that's called wool without any other qualifier. Minayim l'rabbe semer gmalim. How do we know it also includes camel's wool, the semer anovim and rabbit wool, the notzishal ism and the soft wool mohair from goats. The various grades of silk that we talked about before. Minayin, how do we know, says this Braisa, that all of them are able to become Tomei with Saras as well. Tamadlaima, oi beged, therefore the Torah continues, in a wool garment, oi beged, or a garment of linen, and the word oi comes to include all garments. So we see that the second Braisa disagrees with the first one and says that in fact all types of garments, no matter what fabric they're made from, are subject to kilayim and are subject to tzaras and bepashtus. That would also mean that all of them are also chayiv and tzitzis min ha-Torah. The Gemara and Shabbos brings this as well. There, Rava points out that that the two braises are not necessarily contradicting one another. And in addition, Tosfos points out that anyway, the point is that there may actually be a difference between what we're saying as far as Saras versus other kinds of things. And Tosfos says, in addition, the word oy beged that we're learning from here may actually be something in connection with the Tumah of Shrotzim. And in that case, you could say that he means that clothing made out of other materials is subject to the Tumah of Shrotzim and other kinds of Tumah, but not necessarily to Tumah Saras. Maybe that is limited only to wool and linen. And in fact, the Rambam does pass in that way that Saras applies only to garments of wool and linen. Of wool or linen. As far as tzitzis, as we just said, there's machlokes of Rishonim, which opinion in our sugya, the Paschim light, and therefore whether silk or cotton or any other fabrics other than wool and linen will be chayiv and tzitzis min ha-Torah or midrabanan.